Welcome to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. David's no officer, and I'm certainly no gentleman. And folks, you've got nowhere else to go.
Welcome again to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. My name is Kelly Blades, and with me as always is...
David Johnston. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Or were you talking to our audience?
Oh, no, I was talking to you. I'm ignoring the audience.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
You're just setting up that wall.
Yeah.
Because that's how a creative power like you works. You have to, there's got to be a theater of the mind for you, and you got to make sure that no distractions, like the tens of thousands of people out there are listening, hanging on your every word. You can't imagine that, or you just get stage fright.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Performance anxiety.
Yeah. See, I can't. So I have to picture the reality of three people listening to this, and they probably already turned it off. So
interesting. I actually like imagining. I go with that whole Dale Carnegie thing where I imagine the audience in their underwear. But then we're talking about so many people out there, and quite honestly, I just do that normally. I just imagine everybody in their underwear as a rule, and it works out pretty well for me.
Oh, well, that's pretty good.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So, David Johnston, how you been?
I've been doing good.
What have you been up to these days?
We've been, well, it's, you know, the peak of summer, so I've been running around with the family.
Nice.
What are we doing? I've been doing a bit of teaching kayaking, that type of
good.
Stuff. But it's mainly, you know, summertime is about running around with the family. So, just earlier tonight, I was teaching an introduction to kayaking course with an evening clinic, so we had fun right after work. Jumped
awesome.
In the water and did that. Yeah, how about yourself? What have you been up to?
Oh, I've been driving hither and yon, there, to and fro, all kinds of crazy driving.
How many kilometers? Oh, wait, miles?
Miles.
I think you've done.
I don't do kilometers because it confuses my tiny little dinosaur brain, my primate brain. Since last we talked, I've been, I don't even know. That's how much driving I've been doing. I did go down to Pennsylvania yesterday and did a little whitewater boating, which was kind of fun with some friends. So that's, you know, 12 hours in a car in one day, plus the boating.
Nice.
I've been an office rat for the past week trying to get everything taken care of. But prior to that, I was in Las Vegas. I was in Salt Lake City, just everywhere. And then tomorrow I go to an amusement park with the kids and then up to Ladies of the Lake Symposium, which is
excellent.
Nice.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So yeah, that's about, and then book in the fall, which I am very proud to say, David, I will be joining you on not one but two occasions this fall.
I'm pretty excited.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah, where are we seeing each other?
We are gonna be seeing each other at, this gets so confusing. I don't know what the hell people were thinking, but we're gonna be seeing each other at the Gales, a storm gathering, as well as the storm gathering.
No, it's the Georgia Bay storm gathering.
Oh, okay, you switched it up.
Yeah, well, you know, our name was first.
It really
and
was.
Keith Weichel whips in with his name.
That's true. He's a turncoat and a charlatan. And a denouement. I don't even know what that means, denouement.
Yeah.
But it sounded very French and
yeah,
sounded sinister. And then there's also, which is the funny thing, there's sort of three things in October that go on. And for the premise of the comedy here, I'm going to not say the Georgian Bay thing. So you've got the Gales of Storm Gathering.
Yeah.
You've got the Storm Gathering, and then you've got the Gales. How the hell is anybody supposed to show up anywhere?
Well, you know, it's a whole group of people who can, you know, are original thinkers. So
that's true.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty excited about it. The certainly the two storm gatherings, early October, mid-October, they're... Uh-huh. They're going to be good. I'm really excited about it.
I'm just happy to be paddling in October. Normally, it's just me making Halloween costumes for the kids. Mm. And, well, that's not true. I mean, I'm always busy. But I feel as though I'm making a strong presence in Ontario. I think there's going to be a lot of fun
We're
to be had.
We're getting you over it. It's about time.
It is about time.
In Canada.
I love the fact that you said about time. Anytime I bring up Ontario, you go into a real thick Canadian accent, which makes me real happy.
Can I at the Gales of November? No, where are we doing? Where are we at? The Great Lakes Storm Gathering. No. What event were we at recently?
The hell do you... The Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium. Yet another wacky name for something.
We were driving home and Eric's like, I don't know why all those Americans are making fun of me because of our accent. I said, Eric, we don't have an accent. They just don't know what they're talking about.
About.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah, uh-huh. It's like, they should learn to listen to themselves. They sound really weird.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't bring that up around all of us Americans.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we're classy.
You are. You're a classy set of gents.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, so what's, yeah. What, how was, you're an outdoor retailer? How was
I
that?
I was. Did we talk about outdoor retailer
no.
yet?
No.
Wow. Outdoor retailer was real good. We had a little bluegrass band, sort of a bluegrass okay. old-timey band, and this is real important because they are the very same people who do the music for our podcast, Honey Don't.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, these guys are live and nationwide is what they are. Bill and Shelley Powers, they are fantastic, and they're old friends of us at Piranha.
Okay.
So they decided to come up from, I believe it's Salida, Colorado, but I could be wrong on that. You know me, I just talk smack.
Right.
Someplace in Colorado. And so Bill and Shelley came up, and they played in our booth, which was really one of the high points. And, of course, they did some of the songs that we have featured here on the podcast, and we will continue to feature. So that was nice. And then, you know, here's the thing. Everybody was super stoked about P&H and Piranha and all the things we were doing, which is a rarity.
you guys have to like hand out apology cards? Is that?
Well, it doesn't get that bad, but I mean, certainly we're a boat company, right? We make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, and usually that's when they, you know, folks show up and they're going to yell at you for it. Now they're not mean spirited,
right?
But they are, you know, concerned. This time, no concerns whatsoever.
Oh. Well, that's always a nice change. It's always nice not to get yelled at.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, there were dudes screwing up left and right over there, and it wasn't us.
Mm.
I'm kidding. I didn't see anybody screw up left and right. But I will tell you that the place was lousy with stand-up boards.
Really?
Like, you could not swing a dead herring without hitting a stand-up board. I felt like I was walking around a medieval castle with walls and walls of stand-up boards everywhere.
Wow, everybody and their brother is putting them out now.
It's true, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's the problem. Because everybody has realized that pretty much a stand-up board is a shaped piece of 2x4 at some point, and that any dunce cap can make one and fool the normal rank and file of folks who want to stand-up paddle. Now, there are some really good companies out there who have been making them for years, and these are the guys standing around going, what the hell just happened?
Really?
You know, because, yeah, I mean, there's some really, really good boards out there for sure. But then every Johnny come lately has now decided they're going to make a stand-up board and try to cash in on this phenomenon.
Okay.
So right. It's pretty interesting. But, you know, for us tried and true kayak people, it was a real good show. We, you know, there was a lot of good stuff to see, a lot of good innovations. Everybody's sort of moving forward and trying to take their kayaks to the next level. I was just real happy with everything.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, the one big issue in paddle sports is that Warner Paddles did not show up at the show. And, you know, I don't think that's a big deal. There were a lot of, you know, bent up noses and whatnot over it. But I think it was just fine. I mean, they're a great company to work with, and they're a great company to deal with. And they just didn't need to be there. It was sort of political. And, I think it was fine. But that was the big dust up that, ooh, Warner didn't show up. Little kids were running around screaming. There was a little news kid handing out newspapers. You
right.
know, extra,
right.
extra. Warner doesn't show up for the outdoor retailer. Something's gone horribly awry. And it wasn't that big a deal.
Pandemonium. So
it was bedlam.
Right. I want to get down to that. I think next year I'm going to try to get to it.
I wish you would.
Yeah.
And we had, yeah, I mean, it was just an absolute great time. We stayed up in Park City, which is always fun.
Okay.
And, yeah. And then prior to that, since we didn't talk about it, and since I'm rambling, I went to Las Vegas prior to, which was fantastic, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I hate Vegas. I absolutely hate Vegas.
Were you just hanging out?
Well, you know, it was the prostitution ring I'm trying to start. I've got a couple of these young ladies and young men
right.
who are really interested in making college money. And
so you just had a whole pile of irons in the fire, is that what you're saying?
I had some business to take care of. No,
you're terrible.
I know, it's a terrible thing. I actually went out there to see the magic show Penn & Teller.
Okay.
And that was real cool. They are, yeah, for all of you tens of people listening, if you have a chance to see Penn and Teller live, Teller is maybe one of the most phenomenal magicians I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
just fantastic. And Penn's loud and big.
Right.
But that's cool. So, yeah, I mean, that was, and then we went out and saw Red Rock. My brother and I went out there and we saw Red Rock, and that was phenomenal. So, yeah.
That was you two playing there?
Did they play there before?
Yeah, I think they put out a live album back in, like, 82.
In Red Rock?
Yeah, live at Red Rock.
Wow.
I doubt it's even the same place, but anyways, I just remember the title.
Okay. I believe you. They might have. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm not a big fan of the YouTube.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, David, you know, we've been at this for a few minutes now, and I've been sort of lost in the mist, and so I would like to hear some news.
Dum, dum, dum.
It's time for the Kayak Mainline News. Yes, your source for news all over the world, down the street or just outside your door.
You got some news for us. That was a good segue, eh?
Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff. In fact, we've got several articles. We'll start off with...
you know what I want to hear, David?
We'll call this the early Valentine's episode.
You know what I want to hear, David?
Yeah.
I want to hear some stories about some sweet, sweet lovemaking. Do you have some stories about sweet lovemaking?
Let's start with the first one here. We're going to go to Otago. Seal tangled in G-string at the lover's leap.
A seal is caught in a G-string.
So people are in panic.
Well, of course. Wait a minute. Was someone wearing the G-string at the time?
Well, let me read the thing here. So conservation rangers saved a seal that was tangled in a G-string near Lover's Leap Cliffs in Otago.
Of course it was Lover's Leap.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they had to go out and rescue the seal, and they say it was okay that it was a fabric G-string because it could have rotted away, but you never can tell.
No,
so
not at all.
So they're encouraging people that, you know, if you're going to go to Lover's Leap, you know, leave only footprints and memories, but take everything home.
Including your G-string.
Yeah.
Now, did it say if the seal had matching pumps that went along with them and maybe a sash that said Miss Topless USA?
Oh, there's a quote at the end that says, the local man who initially spotted the seal advised people discarding an item that says, if it forms a loop, cut it.
I don't know what that means at all.
I think he's talking about those, you know, those pop can plastic, you know, those things that hold it, that, you know, that birds used to get caught in.
Yep, yeah.
So I guess if you're, you know, deciding to leave your G-string at home, make sure at Lover's Leap, make sure you bring scissors to cut it or tear it off with your teeth.
Okay.
So it doesn't cotton seal. Anyways, that's the first one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so a seal's caught in a G-string. Now, was it caught, it doesn't say if it was caught around the head. Or maybe the seal was wearing it.
They could have been confused. They easily could have been wearing it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would. If I was a seal, found a G-string. No, that's not true. Think about what kind of human that came off of.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, seals have morality.
decent animals. True. That one must have been corrupted.
Yes.
So, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Here's the headline. Body retrieved from river was actually a sex doll.
Oh, yeah, that's happened to me. Never once. Did that happen. So, where was this? Where is this at?
This took place in China, and in particular, in China's Shandong province.
You said dong.
So here's the thing. So they see a body going by on the river, and for some reason, I'm not quite sure why it took so many, but it took 18 policemen several hours to go out and retrieve body.
I think you know why it took 18 policemen. Because they were out there doing their thing. Immediately when they saw it was a sex doll, they're like, all right, give me a minute.
Well, it's like an inflatable toy. But the thing is they say that the doll's toy's design and size was so similar to an adult female body that the policemen had to act. Shandong is an important center for producing sex toys in China and supplies them across the globe.
That's where I've heard the name before.
Yeah.
I've got it written all
in the back of the packaging.
Okay, so in my limited experience, and admittedly, I have limited experience with sex dolls.
Okay.
That is to say, I have seen them, but never, you know, partaken. I've never been to a party where there has been one, like a wacky bachelor party. You know, the people I hang out with don't roll that way. Nothing wrong with it for those of you out there with your party dolls. Go for it. But from what I remember, and maybe this is archaic, maybe I'm looking at, you know, back in the 90s when technology wasn't there, but they're pretty much balloons with holes in them.
Yeah, this one was pretty high-end according to the photo.
So what I'm saying is it's like a beach ball. So when you see this thing floating down the river, it looks like a person floating on top of the water. Unless I'm totally wrong. Do you have pictures?
Well, it pretty much looks like a person floating down the river.
Holy
apparently,
monkey.
It was pretty high-end. But
nice. That's why, again, it took 18 police officers several hours.
Do you remember when, I don't know if you remember, you know the magazine Wavelength, when it used to be called that?
Yes.
Do you remember when there was an ad that was placed in the back of Wavelength probably 4 or 5 years ago of someone who decided to manufacture blow-up dolls as paddle float rescue devices?
I do remember that, as a matter of fact. Yes, yeah. The blow-up doll paddle float rescue.
Yeah, yeah. That was the thing was, is that nobody knew who put that out. And that was a bit of a mystery in BC, because that's where the magazine is. But they knew
right.
It was somebody in BC who placed the ad as an inside joke. And, it took a couple months to get it sorted out because the magazine wasn't going to release who actually paid for the ad.
Can we just wildly speculate and completely be just out of the ballpark crazy with this and say it was Michael Party?
He didn't cut the check, but he knows. But he was on the course who, when they came up with the idea, so mm-hmm. He had it narrowed down to like the six people, and it took him a while to get it set up. And I can't remember who it was. But if you did it, write in, tell us, because we want to know. But
that would be cool. By the way, you can email us at kayakmainline@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at kayakmainline. So those are your two conduits towards letting us know who perpetrated this. Tell us whatever you want, really. I mean, good or bad or indifferent. But this is your way to tell us all about the sex toy rescue in Wavelength magazine.
Yeah, could be the future.
It really could be.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by P&H Kayaks, Warner Paddles, and Kokatat. Yes, these fine products are available in any proper kayak store or online, and you can certainly find them, use them. They'll make you feel happy, healthy, and you'll look and feel like a million bucks. Folks, don't wait. You only have so much time to be on the water. You might as well use the good stuff. And these folks provide the good stuff.
So if you like to gamble with the things that you love, you better hope to the stars above that you'll be lucky in love.
So more stories. I love this news. I'm loving this news. There's sexual kind of tension.
Those are two dramatic, romantic, outdoor, semi-related articles. And then there was the bit of a, let's call it the dust-up at the Olympics.
Oh, I love this one.
I'll read the... Just the headline of my first headline here, one man sports wood for gold.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was the who was that? That was the U.S. team.
U.S. bronze team, yes. I believe the man was, and it's a crazy name, it's like Heinrich Rommel. So it's the four-person, the rowing team, the men's rowing team, they got the bronze. And they wear very traditionally real tight, like biker short pants.
Yes.
And when they got the picture... Boy, howdy, was this guy sporting American pride. Let me just tell you that much right now.
And I believe you were inspired to write a joke or two off that, weren't
I
you?
Actually did. Well, originally, you and I were both going to write jokes, and then you left me to hang. So, see what I did? Left me to hang? So I took the liberty of writing some jokes. Hey, they're all going to be this bad. Trust me. So I was just going to do a shotgun effect, and... I've got about 30 seconds worth of jokes. You just ready to have me just throw them out there?
Yeah, give her.
All right. Looks like the American bronze team won by a head. Hey, that's right. Hey, look who brought their own coxswain. Because, see, it's a rower. Get it? Uh-huh. That's right. Three out of the team got bronze medals. The last guy just got the shaft. This might be one of my favorite ones, and it's a little esoteric. Stroke, stroke, stroke. Yep. I love that one. One that my wife didn't necessarily like, but I like this one. Suck it, Baryshnikov.
That's terrible.
I know, I know. When flying over to the UK, he was told by the flight attendant, sir, you just get to have one carry-on. This one is, again, a little esoteric. Here you go. Hey, 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 the bronze medal is up here, pal. They say that the sport of rowing is a game of inches.
How long did this take you to put these together?
I don't know. It's, yeah. Hold on, I get a couple more. I'm very happy about this. In an unprecedented display, the U.S. rowing team was awarded 4.5 bronze medals. And finally, the best one I think that I've written, which was, if that's what it looks like after he's been in the water. Yeah, it takes a little time to sink in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, I thought, really? Where's this going? Ooh, I know where that's going.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, so this guy had, you know, he swore up and down. So some of the articles, like David's got a few of the articles.
Well, they worked it into the headline.
Yeah, which is great.
One of these guys, Olympic rower denies boner during medal ceremony. I swear it's not erect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I have one last headline. American rower gets bronze medal and boner.
Nice. And boner. I think you got to say that like Danny Mongo would say it. And a boner.
So that headline was written by like some kid in grade six.
Of course. Yeah. So my problem with that is well, there's no problem, man. I mean, if you got that, let's face it. If you and I were packing heat like that, we'd be wearing bike shorts everywhere we go. And any man out there who says they won't, you're lying, all right? Because you'd want to show that off. But so it comes out that, like, you know, everyone's saying, oh, look, see, he got a little energetic there. He was really swelling with American pride. He must have had a stiffy there. And he comes out and says, nope, that was just me. Dude. It's big no matter what you have to say, all right? You don't have to pretend like that. I don't even know what the controversy is all about, right?
I don't know if there's much controversy. I think people are just excited about it more than anything else.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It just cracks me up. I mean, that's good for him. I say he's got a bronze medal. And
I think it's funny. So, yeah, so there we go. Three risque articles if my mother was going to listen to this.
Oh, that's very nice. I'm glad. Yeah. No, she wouldn't pay for it.
Oh, not, yeah.
Is that true?
Then, well, maybe. I don't know. But.
Yeah.
All right. So we got some more news. Let's get out of Valentine's Day. We'll move into – I got a quick hit article here.
Okay.
About shark's teeth.
Because we love the animal news. Animal news, animal news. Everyone who wasn't there loves animal news. Noah brought him in the ark 2x2, so we wouldn't have to hear so much animal news.
Every week is like, what can I talk about sharks?
That's right. We've yet to actually get to any kayaking topics.
No. There's no interesting kayak news ever.
No, nobody likes that.
No. Shark teeth. Scientists, they figured out that shark's teeth have built-in toothpaste, which explains why they never have cavities.
So sharks are killing machines from prehistoric era that rule the sea with an iron authority.
Yep.
Why on earth do they need more bonuses to their lives?
I know. It burns me up. Yeah. So what they found out is that when they looked at sharks' teeth in particular, that the enamel has fluoride built into it, which humans don't have, but sharks do. And so they don't. They never get plaque or, I believe, chronic halitosis.
That's well, screw sharks. I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
Because they get all the bonuses. They get everything cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, right, well, they don't get cavities. I think it's more just because their teeth fall out before they actually start to rot out. But anyways. Well,
they have rows and rows.
Apparently it's 100% fluoride. And so in principle, they'll never get cavities. And as they live in water and they change their teeth regularly, dental protection should not be a problem for sharks.
Good.
According to some scientists.
That way Johnson & Johnson don't have to make shark toothbrushes. The swine. All right, so we got some pseudoscience news coming up, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
This is I'm so excited. Finally, the hard-hitting things.
Yeah, investigative journalism. That's what we're known for.
Yes. By the way, we still need to follow up on the guy who got shot in the ass.
Yeah, I've called in a couple times. They're trying to get back to me with a spokesperson.
You're making all that up out of whole cloth.
Exactly. So the investigative reporting team was out this week.
Okay.
What did we find?
I feel like we should have some strange 1940s typewriter or some like a ticker tape. This just in.
Scientists say hydrate or die is hogwash.
I would agree with that.
So it was an interesting article. It was in a couple BMJ.com, which is a medical journal, not a medical journal, but it's a medical website specifically for doctors. And so they wrote this piece that talked about there's the whole philosophy with athletics that you need to drink a ton of water before you exercise, while you exercise, after you exercise, because water, in particular, sports drinks, is critical to your performance as an athlete.
Because of electrolytes. That's real important, electrolytes.
Yeah, the whole thing. So, but it's really, and so this guy's basically has come out and said there's actually very little evidence that shows that people's athletic performance would decrease because they're dehydrated. And so it's been that way because they used a good example was that back in the 1970s, marathon runners were actually discouraged from drinking fluids for fear that it would slow them down before a race. And so during a race, hardly anybody drank. And it really wasn't until about the mid-80s, early 90s that this whole idea that you need to power and chug a lot of water just before a race or, in particular, sports drinks. So the article is an interesting piece because it really talks about how the sports drink industry, Gatorade, Pepsi Company has their own version of it.
By the way, everybody who's listening, don't sue us over using those names.
Yeah. Yeah, other companies. So, yeah, anyways, so there's all this research that's come out saying that it's important to drink it, but it's all sponsored by these companies.
Marketing?
Yeah.
No way.
Yep. So people feel there's a bit of conflict of interest, but also there really isn't quite the need to power back with that.
Okay, so I always thought throughout my tenure of drinking things, you know, liquids, I remember this craze when everybody needed to have Powerade and Gatorade and whatever aid.
Right.
Before all this nonsense, when it was just coming out, everybody was all giddy over the stuff. Mm. And I remember somebody telling me that at one point, well, what this does is it replaces all the stuff that you just sweated out. These electrolytes replace all the stuff that you just got rid of. To my mind, to my rationally thinking mind at the time, I thought, isn't that the stuff you want out of your body?
Yeah,
why are we replacing that? And they were like, no, you don't understand.
Right.
You need that stuff. Well, then why would you sweat it out? So my point is it never made sense, really, for all this stuff. Now, I also read a study, and we had discussed this a bit prior to, and it might have been from the same guy who produced this, but there's this fallacy out there that you need to drink X amount of liters of water compared to your body weight
in order
to stay hydrated, because you're going to sweat that out. You're going to sweat out. I think one of the studies was like 2 liters per 50 pounds or something like that.
Seems about right. 4 liters a day.
Right. But what they never took into consideration and what they didn't really discuss at all was the fact that you drink stuff all the way through the day and all of that. Like, let's say, for instance, coffee.
Okay.
If you drink 3 or 4 cups of coffee or whatever you drink, that's mostly water.
Right.
I mean, like 90 some odd percent water. And that is part of the hydration. So when these studies come out that say you have to drink 8 quarts of water, 8 liters of water a day, that may well be true, but that's not. But they tried to put especially like massage therapist gurus and all these kind of nutty folk out there. And if you're a massage therapist person, yes, you're nutty. Don't hold it against me. I'm sure you think I'm nutty too. It's okay. I just have science behind me. But these folks will will tell you that, yeah, you need to drink these 8 liters of water above and beyond. But that's not the case. You have to drink this liquid throughout your day to stay hydrated.
Right.
And so if it's Pepsi-Cola, drink it. But it makes no difference here or there.
Yeah, and that's kind of what he talks about. He said there is a difference. People feel there's strong scientific evidence. They're pushing that the sports drinks, you should be drinking it because of scientific evidence. And he's like, actually, no. Like, there's very little scientific evidence and very little clinical trials done on it. So ignore don't sell it saying that science is the reason why. Because he's like, no, it's not actually. You can drink it if you want, but it probably doesn't do a whole lot.
Right, and kids listening out there, don't take our word for it. As all things in science, don't take our word for it. Look, try to find the data, try to find the evidence, and not just the stuff that agrees with whatever you want to believe. Look at all the data and see if it's a credible source. Just like, this guy is doing that. He's looking at all of these studies, and he's saying it's bunk.
Yeah.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
So it's, good so story.
I got one last little quick one.
Bring it. It might not be that quick.
It came out of our hard-hitting investigative journalism area. So someone asked the questions about sonic bug repellents and whether they actually work or not.
Mm-hmm.
So these bug repellents, people who don't want to put, mosquito off or DEET or things on their skin, so they buy these little clip-on things that squeal and are supposed to keep the bugs away. And you can also buy a bunch of iPhone apps that apparently you're supposed to squeal to keep the bugs away.
Weird. Now, do bugs have ears?
Well, this is part of the whole thing. So anyway, surprise, surprise, it actually, none of those things do anything. So article I found, it talked about, had a guy who's he's an insect instructor, professor.
I'm not even going to help you with that name. We discussed this. I am not going to help you with that name.
Dr. Roger Goll, he's a professor of entomology. Is that right?
I'm not helping.
Okay.
You're going to have to struggle through this one, my friend.
That's
because apparently us North American Americans talk all funny to you. It's about time you learn how to say these words.
Every week I can't make it. Anyway, right.
What's Bam's last name?
I'm going to keep moving on.
Okay.
He's from that the Jackass show. So anyways, yes. This guy from Texas A&M, he says the whole thing, which is apparently a $1 billion industry around insects, keeping insects away purely by sound, $1 billion right. industry. He says it's 100% completely bunk. Mainly along the line of because there's many different types of mosquitoes, and a good chunk of mosquitoes actually have no sound receptors in any way.
So they got no ears.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ain't got no ears, can't hear sonic stuff. Now, I'm sure one of the arguments could be that they can feel the vibrations.
Yeah, right? He talks about that. And he this guy's been working on studying this type of stuff since 85. So he's been around the block doing this for a while. And he said some are better than others, but he said the vast majority of all those types of things are just junk. So, and it's mainly along the line of that insects are deterred by the noise or the vibrations for just a very short amount of time, and then they just get used to it, and it's not a hindrance. Just like an annoying noise around your head all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like my kids, I don't hear them after a while.
Right. Well, I'm going to set you in the scenario, David Johnston. Okay. You're really hungry. Let's say you haven't eaten for 5 days.
Okay.
Okay. Your wife, lovely as she is, packs you a nice sandwich for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And you ride your bike into work, you do your thing, and it's time for lunch. You haven't eaten in 5 days.
Okay.
And you're really hungry. And you got, what kind of sandwich do you have?
Peanut butter, honey.
Peanut butter, delicious.
Okay.
I mean, one of the best sandwiches you can imagine. You're hungry. There you are. The problem is you go into the lunchroom, you sit down, and the most annoying, chatty, freaking coworker you have is sitting right there.
Yeah, she's right in front of me.
There, you can see it, and she's, oh, David, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your TPS reports. Could you sit down? What'd you do this weekend? Blah, 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 blah. Is that noise going to stop you from eating that sandwich? The answer is no.
Yeah, because I'm more hungry. I'm happy to put up with that.
Exactly. I don't know if you know this, but mosquitoes are really hungry little bastards. They want to say they will look at a human being that is 1 trillion times their size and go, "Yep, I'm taking a piece of that home. I don't care what happens." So yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So anyways, mm-hmm. that's the hard hitting journalism from this.
So don't
week.
Buy don't kids don't buy the Sonic bug repellent. It doesn't work. Yeah. Kill them with DEET. That's what we like to do.
It's the only way to go.
Frickin' destroy.
Or just stay inside once again.
Yeah, don't even go outside. This is ridiculous. Listen, yeah. we'll do a little podcast on how we paddled.
Yeah.
And then you guys don't have to go.
Exactly.
Stay inside.
You can live vicariously through us.
Right. Watch a river runs through it.
Or Deliverance.
Or deliver. Well, I don't know if they want to squeal like a pig. So there you go. Folks, if you have something you'd like to tell us, please let us know by emailing us at kayakmainline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter and let us know through there at kayakmainline. That's kayakmainline@gmail.com and Twitter feed kayakmainline. And if you enjoy what you hear, please leave us a favorable review on iTunes. And if you don't like what you hear, please write it down on a piece of paper, fold it up nice and tight, put it in an envelope, and then seal it and just, you know, kind of sit on it for a few years and really think about it. All right, so moving right along from the news. Thank you, by the way. The news was fantastic.
Hey, no problem.
Let's do a little, let's go to the water and trough, as I like to call it, of questions we have from the interweb and beyond.
Okay.
By the way, if I'm going to throw this out there again, you can, by all means, send us some questions if you have burning questions for us, facetious or otherwise. Preferably, we'd like to have real-life kayaking questions, but do what you got to do. But you can send those to kayakmainline@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter at kayakmainline, or check us out on the Facebook page. And by the way, while you're there, like us.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with liking us. We like us. Our wives like us. Our children, I guess they're okay. I mean, they realize we pay the bills. So, you know, they'll suck it up. So, yeah, go ahead and like us. And by the way, while I'm on this, if you like the podcast, by all means, go to iTunes and give us a little favorable review, or at least just give us a star or two or three or five.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we get better at this.
I'd be jiggy with that.
Would you get, this is the second time tonight you have used the word jiggy.
I know.
Were you listening to a little DJ Jazzy Jeff and the French Prince? The French Prince? That would have been much different.
Yeah.
as opposed to the fresh.
Get it right.
Prince. That's right. Now, before we get started on these, I wanted to say that we do have a success story.
We do. What happened?
Yeah. So Dinah wrote us in a question a couple weeks ago. It is said, is it possible for a person's center of gravity to be too high in their boat? My 6'6" husband seems to have more stability trouble with his kayak, and it's kind of a small kayak. So she wrote in this question, and David, you and I both met her and her very tall husband at Grand Marais.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, and he ended up taking our advice, and he got himself a new kayak. So he still got his old one, which is great, but he got something that fits him a bit better, and it was night and day.
Really?
Yeah. So that's really good.
I'm glad we've been changing lives.
I don't add, truth be told, I don't think they listened to the podcast at the time. But
and my head's just going.
But the advice we gave on the podcast was the same advice I gave to them in person, and it worked apparently. So we're not so dumb.
Well, that's good to know. At least you're the one changing lives.
So dumb, right? Yeah.
So we got
some questions here. This is a good one from Christopher. What do you do to a scare quotes off the shelf new boat before you think you're ready to go out on a trip or take it take a pounding in the surf? So what do you do to a boat, David?
Didn't we do this question before?
Did we? Oh, I don't remember.
Okay.
All right, let's just cut that one out. I don't know.
Okay. No, we can chat about it.
No, it's all right. If you think we did it, I guess I didn't answer it. So right, I didn't write it down. We'll just cut that out.
Okay.
We're good like that.
So what do we got for questions?
So, nice segue back into that. This is from our little friend Ray, north of the border, north of you as well. I hear Nigel Dennis say that with all of the interest in rough water kayaking, maybe we need a BCU 6-star award. I think he's being a little facetious here, but I'm happy to answer this. What do you think? Should the BCU... excuse me, BCU ACA Paddle Canada consider developing training courses that train to greater extremes than they do now? David, I'll send that one over to you.
I don't know. It's I'm going to say no. I think it's fine the way it is right now, but I think it's a good opportunity that businesses see a market for it. They can put out, can develop clinics on their own, but as a formal, you know, the 5-star is pretty serious rough water that they put them out already in. Already, in the Paddle Canada Level 4, which is the top one for that one, it's more focused on a tripping award as opposed to just getting killed type award. Mm-hmm. So, I guess somebody could put one up, but I don't think there's a market for it, but I don't think there's that huge of a market for it yet.
Well, you know, market aside, I do feel like as at the BCU Paddle Canada ACA level, pretty much where people are being rated for at the highest level is pretty much where anyone's ever going to be able to rate anybody consistently. Anything beyond that, and pretty much you're a walking dead man, or you've got some great skills that, you know, just don't need to be assessed at this point.
Right.
You know, when you're operating at the level of beyond, you know, competent 5-star for the BCU, competent level 5, right, competent level 4 for Paddle Canada. When your confidence is that big, you really don't need another award, kid.
Well, that's the thing. And the other thing is, people who would take those courses would want some training. And I just think, man, the environment to be able to actually teach in a level 6-star level, you know, 5-foot, 6-foot surf, something like that. You can't even have a conversation on the beach because it's just blowing. You know, like
nice.
That. So nobody can talk.
Well, no.
Just get practical.
So at that point, little Ray, I think pretty much you just got to go out and paddle. You know what? So I think our governments, respectively, are working at the highest level you can possibly rate somebody.
Yeah. But that being said, there are a bunch of paddling schools that are really starting to go after that and really customizing, you know, clinics that people could sign up for that is a surf clinic, and that's putting them out in 6-foot surf and very, you know, very specific skills. Let's do a rough water rescue clinic session, and that's in way more advanced than what you would ever do on a BCU course, say, as an example, but
it's
a very specific set of outcomes. So I think people are doing it. I just know Ray, he paddles every single day and he destroys me in surf, so that guy's great.
Yeah, well, I'm going to fight him bare knuckle. I don't know why I say that. He's a wonderful guy, but still, I kind of,
yeah,
you know,
it burns me up seeing he posts on Facebook. Ray Boucher posts on Facebook.
You're not supposed to use his last name.
Oh, sorry, Boucher. I changed it. Didn't come out right.
Ray Raymond B.
Yeah. All right. What's the next question?
Oh, see how you just moved along there?
Yeah.
Ray Boucher. You little devil, you. All right, so here's a little question from Deborah. Numerous studies show men tend to overestimate their abilities, including athletic ability and intelligence.
Yes.
And women tend to underestimate. When you see this while instructing, what measures do you take for either situation?
Wow. Oh, okay.
Well, let me just take this and say, when I see a man overestimating his ability, his athletic ability and his intelligence, what I like to do is challenge them to a foot race. And then I have a little questionnaire that will make them feel like idiots. And then, you know, for the women, I tell them usually, you know, just go back to the beach, put on a little makeup. And then come back and, you know, if they've got a nice warm pie.
Yeah,
I think that's totally wrong, what I just said, and I hope you all take that in the spirit it was made. Yes, so you were going to say something about that. Or do you want me to continue on with my real answer to that?
I'm trying to think of, I mean, men tend to women. I've seen lots of women overestimate their abilities and think they're better than they, you know, think they're better than they really are, and I see lots of men with poor confidence and they're like, oh, I don't want to do it. You know, I had a friend who was the same way, and I would be like, come on, let's go. You can be out in this water, and you know, he'd be like, So, anyways, I think it happens both ways.
Right. I was going to say that, you know, when this is sort of a leading question. Numerous studies show.
Yeah.
First of all, I would love to see these studies,
right?
Because I'm not necessarily sold on the fact that that is actually the case. I'm not saying it isn't. I would just like to see the data. When someone cites studies to me, right, I expect to see some of these studies. From a purely anecdotal side of things, I think you're absolutely right. I think we're a little caught up on the confirmation bias of that. So for instance, I mean, obviously we're talking with Deborah, who is a woman, unless, you know, Deborah has, somebody would have a girly name, a boy would have a girly name like Kelly. You'd never catch that. But I mean, so maybe you see things in a certain way, like men do this and women do that. And I think if the studies, you know, if someone was to do an actual study on this, it probably come out very close to 50-50. But again, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little confirmation bias. You want to see it that way, therefore you see it that way. And men are the same way. We see, you know, misogynistic men all the time saying, "Wait there, little missy, I'll show you how this is done. I'll wrangle up the horses and get us out of here."
Right.
But I think a male like that would see a woman as, you know, whatever he sees a woman as. So,
well, though, I will say, like, I see a lot of students come to courses with a lot of baggage. And
yes,
I see that quite a bit. And it's at some of the lower levels where they're just here for a day or two, you know, on a quick weekend course. I don't see that so much. It's more kind of the upper levels where there's more stress in the course, or teaching environment is, you know, it's windy and bumpy. And so baggage comes out and people get uncomfortable with that. Yeah, it's hard. You kind of got to work with what you got and have
right,
good people skills. So, but I see that in both men and women all the time.
Right. So to answer the question as best we can, I would say, take out the man and woman thing.
Yeah.
And say, when I see somebody overestimating their abilities, including their athletic ability and intelligence, mm-hmm, first of all, I'm not going to ever question anybody on their intelligence.
Right.
I will question people on their knowledge base, and I think it's very important to make that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you get somebody who is, and I've seen this numerous times, you have as well, you get somebody who wants to be the instructor, and they want to start spewing off information that they really have no grounds to spew.
Right.
They just don't have the knowledge base. They're clearly wrong. They're clearly making stuff up. And you want to give them enough rope so that they feel comfortable in the class, but at some point you just have to say, no, you've got to stop making the stuff up, not for any ego's sake that you have as an instructor, but the rest of the people are listening to this.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you can't allow that. You can't allow bad information to continually go out. As far as overestimating their abilities, that's an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody comes in and says, "Yep, I'm an awesome kayaker."
Right.
All you have to do is prove it. That's what I like about kayaking. There's the rubber meets the road right then and there. If somebody says, I can roll 50 billion ways. All right, let me see them.
Right.
Let me see your high brace. Let me see your forward stroke. Let's go out for a paddle. I will take people to task, and I will start paddling at 4 knots and say, "Keep up," and we'll see where the excuses come out, you know. And so it's easy at that point. As far as athletic ability, that's always a tough one, man. I am not necessarily visually a physical Adonis,
right?
However, you know, I do know that it comes. People come in all shapes and sizes. I know people who are ultra fit who would give up in 30 seconds. And I know guys much like myself who will not look like they can make it out through 2 foot of surf 50 yards, and yet they can paddle all day.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily question people's athletic ability. I don't question their intelligence. I question their knowledge base, and their abilities are easy to sort out. So I kind of handle it case by case. As far as people who underestimate their abilities, man, does that frustrate me quite a bit. Mm-hmm. However, all you can do is continue to give advice, continue to give positive encouragement, and continue to set the student up so they can see where their skill levels are.
Mm.
So case in point, if someone says, I really don't feel like I've got a good role. All right, well, let me see that role. What seems good to me, let's do some things. And you don't even have to tell them. Let's go out and do some things where they're going to flip over. And once they roll 10 or 15 times, come up and say, you said you didn't have a very good role. Which one are you referring to?
Right.
Because I've seen 10 or 12.
Yeah.
You know?
And like I said, I mean, I'm not a therapist, so I can't. So many of those things, it's, you know, you're only there for 2, 3, 4 days, so you're not going to solve people's, all their life problems. But it's,
right.
You know, it's kind of like, yeah, you're a good paddler, and this is how I can show it is.
So. Yep.
Good question.
So yeah, there. Yeah, exactly. Very good question, Deborah. Thank you for that. I got one more that hopefully will be a quick one, and then we'll move right along because we are getting close to time. So I've got one. Harris simply just says plastic or composite.
Oh, like a fiberglass or yeah. Okay.
And I quote: plastic versus composite.
It, like pros and cons.
The question is, plastic versus composite.
Depends what you want to do with it. It's like if you want to get in close to rocks, then plastic boats are the way to go. If you're looking for a stiffer hull or more, more better performance through the water, oh, yeah, I'll go with that. Then, you know, a fiberglass boat is the way to go. If you want a light boat, you got to go, got to pay the money and go Kevlar or carbon fiber.
I have a different take. Okay. Well, a little bit different take. I mean, I agree with you, but I think people in plastic is marketing, and I've said this before. No one ever considered plastic boats until all of a sudden people started making plastic boats, and then all of a sudden these terrible slurs were coming out towards composite, like, oh, they don't stand up. Oh, they get holes in them. Oh, they'll blow up if you put them near a rock.
Right.
Well, people were paddling glass boats for years, and our technology is just getting better and better the way we put together boats. And I don't mean just P&H. I mean all boat companies are really doing a good job with composite boats. And the fact is that everybody wants to paddle a composite boat. The downside is that they cost a damn lot of money.
Yeah.
So for instance, David, you, if you've got a choice between a Delphin and Aries, what are you taking?
Well, as one who's paddled a glass boat for years, and I've got one,
right.
I would actually probably go plastic in that one scenario, but
okay.
There's such a big payoff in them. Yeah, it's a real tough one. In fact, I've been thinking
exactly.
About it.
Exactly. Yeah, and we're talking a Delphin, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is a plastic boat made for surf and rock hopping.
Yeah.
It is made for exactly what David just talked about, which was that scenario where you want a plastic boat. And even though it is made for that specific situation, David's still considering looking at a glass boat.
But I actually really want a boat that I can. But you know, my current boat and the boat before that, you know, I had a Current Designs boat, and now I've got a P&H boat. Both of those, man, I have dragged and over so many rocks and boulders and beaches, and once fell down a set of stairs. And anyway,
and
so
it's
like
it's okay, isn't it?
All those boats are super durable. So,
yeah.
You know, glass boats are way more durable than people believe they are. But I actually, as having a glass boat, I would love to have a plastic one just for those scenarios when I kind of want to just slide off a rock wall.
Right. Well, I do that with my glass boats anyway. And
I'd like to say I've never done it, but I'd be lying.
Of course you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, the clearly composite is the way to go. You get a lot of argument with whitewater boaters. Well, you're going to beat them up. Well, yeah. However, if you're competing, then you kind of want a glass boat. And if you don't believe me, if you're a whitewater guy and you don't believe that you're going to see more composite boats out in the worlds, guess again, kids, because that is coming. I can tell you firsthand. As far as running rivers and whatnot, there are guys who still run glass boats that they made in their garage 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Glass boats are – the only problem with glass boats is that they're cost prohibitive for most people. Mm. They do not appeal to the mass market. But glass boats, Harris, I got to tell you, composite all the way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So there you go. Those are that's the water and trough right there with questions. If you have more questions, by all means, let us know at kayakmainline@gmail.com or Twitter feed kayakmainline. See how we did that?
It was nice.
Pretty easy, huh? Yeah. So there you go, Dave. What else we got here today? I think that wraps us up, doesn't it?
That's pretty much it.
How do you feel?
At some time, we're
going
to have to
good?
Chat more about – we don't have enough time this week, but maybe next round – I can tell you all about the Georgian Bay Storm Gathering.
I am so excited about that. I'm so excited to go up there first and foremost. This is my first time up there. I've been to Georgian Bay, obviously. That's where I met you. But the storm gathering, I got to get these names right.
But I'll give more details next week. But it's, in my head, it's not because of my event that I run, but it's the most fun event. And the most fun that I run.
You know, and that's saying something, because you have said that the Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium, the event that I run, was a lot of fun.
Oh, this is still way better.
Yeah, see, I'm so stoked. It better be, by the way, because I will not pull any punches if I get back.
It's it's the complete opposite of all the events in my head. Like, we really worked hard to make it so that it's fun, and there's very little seriousness out of this event.
I love very little seriousness, as we discussed. Well, cool. I'm looking forward to doing that, talking about that next week and in 2 weeks, I guess. And I think that is what we have for this evening, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
My name is Kelly Blades, and as always with me...
I'm David Johnston.
And you, folks, have been listening to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. Please tip your waitresses, and remember, that blowhole on the dolphin is not for mini golf.
You've been listening to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please tell a friend or tell five. This shouldn't be a secret just for us. That thing you did with the German Shepherd, the surgical tubing, and the Bananas Foster, that's probably a secret you want to keep to yourself. But the podcast, let's tell everyone. Thanks for listening.
So I'm officially recording now, and you want to count down with me?
Yeah.
All right.
Do we need to count into the countdown?
All right, 1, 2, 3, and then we'll do 1, 2. I think we're doing okay here. So on the count of three.
All right.
One, two, three. We didn't even get that right, did we? Let's try this again. One, two, three. Oh, that three was perfect. All right.